Praise the Lord, this is Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading part three of the natural constitution, which means, constitution means what your your natural abilities, your natural knowledge and wisdom, and the things that you're capable of doing. And God wants you to use your natural capabilities for the Lord, but he wants them to be broken. In other words, he wants them to be used for his will instead of your will. Okay, so let's begin.
Dealing with the natural constitution or the natural man, part three. The first fact that we have to deal with is the objective one.
Yeah, we have to have an object. Is your objective to do the will of God, or is it just to sit by and just say, well, I'll listen to the gospel, I read and pray, but you don't do anything, but I just love the word of God. But it's God's will that you do his will. His will isn't just read and pray. It's read what you're supposed to do and then do it. And then pray to God whenever you see circumstances in the world that are beyond your ability to do anything about. Say, for instance, where you take secular powers that are bombing civilians, innocent civilians in different countries, and trying to take them over, and are taking them over. And for what? Even the military that's over there is saying, you know, we don't like killing civilians. They didn't do anything to us. But people just believe the hype that's on television. And the Bible says that in the last days, Satan would be given a mouth. And that mouth is the media. Why is it necessary for Satan to have a mouth? Because the battle that we're fighting today is the battle of words. The word of Satan, which is Satan's mouth, which is the media. What better way does Satan have to get his doctrine out than to use the media? And so anytime you really start getting the truth out too much, they just cut you off. They don't allow you to have a TV program. And they tell the different people that run a PTL and a CBN, they say, if you allow him on, we're going to take your FCC license away from you, and you won't have a network any longer, and we'll give it to one of our other friends that is a real dyed-in-the-wool follower of Satan. And so they do what they're told. So it's a war of words, and the Bible says that pretty soon we won't be able to get the word out. He says there'll come a time when you won't be able to preach the gospel, and that's coming really close. They're making it like it's a horrible sin to even mention the name of God or Jesus, or even to say Christmas tree. It's got to be holiday tree, and so on and so forth. Everything is so satanic, and that people are still not thinking that they're supposed to do God's will. I'll say, God's will be done. Or read the Bible and see what God's will is. His will is that you get up off your duff and get busy preaching the gospel, amen? And coming against all the false things that Satan is saying through his mouth, the media. And if you don't do it, well then, don't be saying God's will be done. Eventually it's going to be done. His will is going to be to just slaughter everybody on the face of this earth for just sitting on their duffs, amen? And you people that know the truth, are going to be in the hell's hottest fire, the lake of fire, if you just listen to the word of God and don't do anything about it. And just think, well, you know, we're being warmed and filled at the moment, and so therefore we don't have to do anything. And we feel that we're, we have everything. We've got it made. Like a bunch of reclining homosexuals lying on couches, drinking wine out of bowls, and living a pipe dream. They've received the spirit of Satan, and so have you, if you're not busy for the Lord. They've been told that you're homosexual, and they received that. They received it. But we were just born that way. No, you have an evil spirit, the spirit of homosexuality. And you have the spirit of lethargy, because you've heard God's will be done, and so you just relax and don't do anything, because you think that means that God is going to do anything, because you haven't read the Bible, and if you did, you didn't read it the right way. Satan twisted it for you. It says that we are commanded to go into all the nations. You're not going to dispatch Jesus. He's already dead and gone and rose from the dead, and he's up in heaven now, and he wants to live in you and get you going. Amen?
Amen.
Okay? So how many preachers do you hear preaching the truth? Nary a one. Hardly any. Amen?
Amen.
Well, if we don't do it, then it won't be done. God's will not be done. All right? So you can't just sit there and vegetate and be worried about yourself any longer or your opinions. That's your opinion that God's will be done if you sit and do nothing. But remember, the opinions are the old man in you. You know? It's your old man. You haven't had your old man crucified. You want to take the easy way out. You may take the easy way out on this earth, but when you stand before the judgment bar of God and you're put in hell, it won't be an easy existence there, because you'll be working all the time. Because you refuse to work the works of God here, that his will be done, you will work eternally and never rest. You'll work trying to get out of hell, because you cared about yourself so much, you'll really care about yourself there. You'll just say, oh, God, let me out of this place. Please, God, you know, I can't stand this horrible heat, these flames any longer. I can't stand the boredom, the monotony, the ionic pentameter of the same monotony. And know the thought that I'm never going to have one drop of water or no food and not be able to sit down and rest or lie down and rest. And the boredom, like there's no fellowship with you, God. There's no fellowship. You can't even remember the name of God in hell. He won't even let you remember his name. And where's some fellowship? Isolate somebody. Put them in a hole. Let them not fellowship with somebody. And cut off all memory from God and see yourself falling in a bottomless pit where the flames and the heat is so intense. And there's no drugstore or pharmacy where you can get yourself something to ease the pain or to knock yourself out. No, you'll do the will of God, or that's what's going to happen to you. Well, all we have to do is just sing and praise the Lord and clap our hands. That's what these phonies are saying. Well, that isn't God's will for you to clap your hands. What has clapping your hands got to do with it? The devil can clap his hands and wag his head and his tongue. He's wagging his tongue and clapping his hand at football, basketball, baseball games, ping pong games, all kinds of games. Or at talk shows, all these different demonic shows, everywhere, they clap their hands. Is clapping your hands of the Lord? Show it to me in the Bible where clapping your hands and wagging your hands back and forth. Or just that's all you were called to do, is go, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Where does it say that in the Bible? Show it to me. Well, that's it, you know. No, these people had to they had to do the will of God. God's will be done. God's will be done. You phony. You pitiful, simpering, whimpering, phony. God has given us talents and he wants us to use them, amen?
Amen.
Doesn't want you to be saying carnal things like that. God's will be done. Donald Trump can say that. So can this guy that made the microchip. What's his name? He's so insignificant to me, it doesn't, you know, I don't even remember his name. What's his name?
Bill Gates.
Rod Sterling? What?
Bill Gates.
Bill Gates. Well, he just thinks he's doing God's will. God told me, stay away from the internet, the website, these chip microchips and all that. He says, because that's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Any kind of knowledge you want, you can get on that internet. He says, stay away from that. But some people just stay there all day long. They just worship that internet, the website. That's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What a mind we have. Is that the mind of God, the internet?
No.
Is that the mind of Christ?
No.
Huh? No. Hallelujah. Well, I'll tell you, God would slaughter me if I just said, sat at home and just went, hallelujah, and didn't bring these messages to you. Yeah, I'd be destroyed by God. Well, let's be kind and just call you ignorant. But are you a self-made ignorant person? If you're not reading the Bible, you're just self-made ignorant. And if you're reading the Bible and you see what it says and you don't do anything, then you are disobedient. And the Bible says that disobedience is the same as witchcraft. God's will is not going to be done unless you do it. Okay, Bunky? Do you understand that? Good. Somebody said yes. Does everybody understand that?
Yes.
Okay. So if you want to do the will of God, you want to see his will done, then watch yourself do it. Okay? Well, what is God's will? Read the Bible, it says. Amen?
Amen?
One thing is to prepare yourself, just like if you went to college to study to become a dentist. Well, you go to the college to learn how to be a dentist, and then you don't actually work on people's teeth. Does that make sense?
No.
Well, it doesn't make any sense to study the Bible and not do anything either. Amen?
Amen.
I'll show you my faith by my works, saith the Lord. And you've got these false prophets that say, well, God has already done all the work. No, he says that he wants us to get out, carry, to take the cross up, deny ourselves, and follow him in labor. He says, yoke yourself up with me. Put my yoke on you. Okay? Let's be yoke fellows. Let's yoke up to work. Because my work, my yoke, or work, is easy and it's light. But you must be yoked up with me. I need a body to work in, and you need my spirit in order to be able to do that work. Therefore, my spirit is your head, and you are my body. Now get to going. Just get to going. Don't ever say, well, the Lord's will be done. And anyone that you hear saying that, just know that that's a very naive or ignoramus. And they're deliberately ignorant because they're lazy, they have no zeal, they don't want to do anything for God, and they can see that the will of the Lord is not being done by the stuff that you see on television and the things that are happening in the world. Amen?
Amen.
So if you want to change things, then get to going. Okay, then what?
The first fact that we have to deal with is the objective one.
Okay. That's why people have to discipline their children. Because that's the will of God. You can't let them grow up to do their own thing, to have their will be done. You've got to correct the child if you love them. Amen?
Amen.
And if you love me, keep my commandments. And I mean correct those children. They may think, if you explain to them why you're doing it and you read the scriptures to them, then they won't hate you. But if you try to correct children without explaining to them that this is the will of God, that you can't let them do their own will, well, then they won't hate you. They'll wind up maybe hating God, but you can't help that. Amen?
Amen.
If they hate God, then they're not your child anymore anyway. You're responsible for raising them, and maybe one of these days they're going to believe the message from the Lord. But until then, you have to just keep striving. Job needed to chasten his kids because they were gluttons and winebibbers, for sure. That's all they did was had banquets one day after the other. And what happened to them? God destroyed them. Amen?
Amen?
He had to break Job of not doing God's will. He was perfect in his belief. He believed that the Lord was right and everything, but he didn't do the work. People say, yeah, the Bible's true, but they won't get off their duffs. Does that make you a good Christian if you just don't do the Lord's will? If you just say, yeah, the Bible's right, I have to. Amen, brother. Amen. And then you don't do a thing. Well, forget you. Something's going to happen in your life to where you're going to get the message or wind up in hell in the lake of fire. Okay, now let the message get through to you loud and clear. The Lord's will is not going to be done unless you do it. And don't think, well, Tony's doing it and we're part of the work. And Tony's doing it and so we'll ride in on his coattails. No, my coattails aren't that long. And the Midianites didn't cut them off, neither. Okay? No one's going to cut my coattails off. All right, then what?
The first fact that we have to deal with is the objective one, the object of everything, the object of dealing with the natural constitution, with the cross or the Holy Spirit.
The cross, which is the Holy Spirit. Read that line again.
Okay. The first fact that we have to deal with is the objective one, the object of everything.
Yeah. The object is to do God's will, because he's not going to do it unless he's doing it in you. Okay, then what?
The object of dealing with the natural constitution, with the cross, or the Holy Spirit.
So we have to deal with that natural man. We have to say, no, God's not going to do it. We have to become supernatural. We have to become spiritual so that we can do it. Because apart from him, the life-giving spirit, we can do nothing. And if you do nothing, well, then you're not used by God. Well, we work. We go to work every day, and we punch a time clock, and we eat food, and we, we read the Bible and pray and say hallelujah, and we clap our hands in the services, Lord. Yeah, but look what's happening to the rest of the world. Get out there and start changing it with my word. Okay? You understand what that means? Bunky, get going. Because if you don't, you're nothing but chaff. The name Bunky is a compliment to a piece of chaff. A goat. Goats don't even deserve the word Bunky. So don't be thinking, but that's a bad name that I'm calling you, Bunky, if you're not doing anything for the Lord, because the Lord calls you chaff, a goat, a viper, a snake, if you're not doing his will. Read the Bible. He calls you a snake, a viper, scorpion. Nothing. Nothing but chaff to burn. All right, go ahead.
So dealing with the natural constitution is the same as dealing with the flesh and the same as dealing with self. It is based on the object, the objective fact or truth. Since our old man has been it's a has-been thing, it's already done, crucified with Christ, our natural constitution also has been dealt with in the old man. If we can see that God did that, then it is an accomplished fact or truth. We receive the fact of it, the truth of it.
In other words, if you can see that you're not a natural man anymore, so as a spiritual man, there's something for you to do. Now, you did all these natural things for the devil. Now the Lord wants to see, he wants you to be able to see that there's something for you to do. You read the Bible and you see, okay, now I'm a supernatural person and God has a chore for me to do, because his chore is, or his object is, that we start doing the will of God. Not thinking in a natural mind with your opinions and ideas that God's going to get his will done without you doing it. No, he doesn't want you to think that way. Then you're back in your old natural mind, your old natural constitution. You're in the Adamic stage again, thinking that you can be a good, well, I'm an honest man. I go out and plow in the field during the day, and I sow seed out there, and I'm not out sinning. I'm on my tractor, and I'm plowing, and yeah, I do chew tobacco, and I do spit it out on the ground, but I'm in a good man. What's so good about that? You know, just sowing seeds. So all we got to do is just be farmers or something and drive a tractor, and that makes us good? Or that we don't go into the cities and witness and testify to people? That makes, no, it doesn't. That makes you very carnal, natural, Adamic, natural constitution, evil person, according to the Lord. Because if you know the truth and you don't do anything about it, it's like all these people standing by while this woman is being starved to death on television. If you could see this and think that that's proved, you know, they took a poll and they said 70% of the people say that that's all right, that she should be starved to death, even though now they found out that she doesn't want to die. It's all right. If you think the same way that if you think that way, that it's all right for her to be starved to death, well, then you're as sick as these government agencies, and you're depraved and satanic as they are. Because nowhere in the Bible does it say for you to starve people to death. You don't even do that to a dog, you satanic devil, if you think that way. It's obvious that the government is the devil. The devil's government. It's obvious that these people are satanic, that they would starve somebody to death. And the mother and father, first of all, this guy supposedly beat his wife to death. And here he is, because he's married to somebody else and he wants her to die. Because he doesn't want her to live and have her mind restored to her and to report that he's the one that beat her up. A man is 6'6". He's an intimidating man. He's known for intimidating people and beating them up, according to the website that people have reported to me. I don't watch the websites because I've got glaucoma. I don't really, I couldn't see it if I wanted to. And I thank God that God told me to stay away from it, because it's the actual tree of the knowledge of good and evil. These are not my opinions. This is the truth. I'm telling you what God said. I don't have an opinion. You people that believe that God's will is going to get done without you doing anything, that's your opinion. That's Satan planted that in your brain, and you're living out Satan's life. He's living out his life in your body. He's got you immobilized. He's got you mesmerized, paralyzed. You're paralyzed like a frightened rabbit. You're not doing anything for the Lord. Okay, go ahead.
We also must be able to see the truth of this, the fact of this, that the Holy Spirit shows it to us. Only those who can spiritually see the objective fact or truth will have the experience of the subjective dealing of the natural constitution or self
or
flesh.
Yeah, what that means is that only those of you that can see the object of God is that His will be done through you are the ones that's going to subject yourself. If you can see the object, then you'll subject yourself to doing His will. You'll subject yourself to the discipline of the Holy Spirit. You'll move when the Spirit moves. You'll do something. You won't be able to hear people say things and just ignore it. But you'll begin doing what the Lord says. If you can't even do the things that the Lord says in your own home, you're never going to do anything for the Lord outside in the church or outside the church. You're just, you were born to do your own thing. And therefore, that's what you've decided to do. Your soul has a will in it, and the will in your soul decided to go to hell in the lake of fire. You yourself put yourself in hell by disobeying what the Lord says. God doesn't send anybody to hell. You send yourself there. God just warns and warns and warns you not to go to hell, and you disobey that, and you just go to hell on yourself. You make the decision. Your will has made that decision. You can see people that never change. They just have decided that's the way it is, and that's the way it's going to be, and I'm not going to get any different than I am now, and I like the way I am, and I don't care whether God likes it or not. Well, we don't really think that. But God will understand and say, well done. No, He won't. The writer of that song, He'll understand and say, well done. No, He won't. He understands you very well. He understands, but He will not say, well done. He understands, and He'll cast your soul, because you cast your own soul right into hell. And He says, you knew. You were told. You were warned, and therefore, goodbye. Okay, so, yes, He'll understand. And say, well done. No, He'll understand, and your soul will go to hell. It saddens the Lord that you've chosen to do that on your own. But, you know, we have to either do His will or ours. We either have to be resurrected or we have to live according to our natural constitution. The natural man. You hear these songs, well, I'm a natural man. I'm a natural. Well, I wouldn't brag about it. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
That's supposed to be macho. No, it's more macho to be a risen, resurrected man, because then you're going to get all the flack. And you got to be strong to take it. You got to be strong in the Lord, because you ordinarily would not be able to take that in the flesh. And so I know that I'm saved because I've taken the flack from the whole world government and every imp on the face of this earth. And so therefore I know I'm stabilized in the Lord. Okay? I've got power. And that power is available for you if you want it. But if you're too lazy, don't look at me with envy or be jealous, because it's there for everyone. God has provided power for everyone. He's provided the same amount of faith to you as He's given to me. You can have the scriptures to get the knowledge of what God has provided for you, for your faith that He's given you. You could have everything I have, and God knows, maybe He would even give you more if you just surrender your entire life unto Him. But you're not going to get anything of being the living under your own constitution, your own natural self, being a member of Adam or Satan's body. Okay, let's go.
The subjective experience. This is all part of allowing the Lord to live out His life in us. We have to subject ourselves, and this is a subjective experience. Flesh, self, and the natural constitution. All three of these are the expressions of the old man. Therefore, The principle in dealing with them is one in the same. On one hand, you have the objective fact, and on the other hand, you need the subjective experience.
Right, because to know the truth and not do anything about it is sin. Amen?
Amen.
I know the truth, you know, that you're not supposed to commit adultery, but then I go and commit adultery. That's sin. Amen?
Amen.
Or fornication, or lie. Well, it's a lie because I don't want my husband to know about my past, and so I don't tell him anything about it. And God knows, and his will be done. But liar, well, you're making your own rules, amen?
Amen.
That's your rule. That's your idea. That's your natural constitution. That's your opinion. Only that's the old man being lived out in you. And you'll throw many souls too. You'd sell your own mother and father and send them to hell by lying about them. Okay, so, you know, if the Lord's pointing his finger at you, if the shoe fits, then put it on and repent, amen?
Amen.
Because hell is too horrible, another lake of fire. And you just go on and on and on in your own constitution. Your own will. Okay, then what?
The objective fact is that Christ has already crucified our old man. It's a done deal. While the subjective experience is the applying of the death of Christ through the Holy Spirit or the cross to ourselves. If we apply the Holy Spirit or the cross to the flesh, it is the dealing with the flesh.
Will the Holy Spirit, if you're walking in this Holy Spirit, will it lie?
No.
Will it make up stories?
No.
That isn't the Lord. That's you. That's your old man talking. You haven't been crucified yet. You haven't given your whole self over to the Lord. Or will he lust in you? Will you
no.
be a lusting person?
No.
Some people say, well, that girl lusts, and I don't. All I do is lie. What difference? You all go into the same hell, amen?
Amen.
What's the difference? One, the liar condemns the luster, and the luster, the lustful one, condemns the presumptuous one, disobedient one way or the other. You know, that's ridiculous. You all go to the same hill, and there's no difference. There's not a hill number one, and a hill number two, and a hill number three, and a hill number four or five. It's just one hill, amen?
Amen.
There's a lower part, and a medium part, and the other part. Okay? So, you know, give yourself over to the Holy Spirit. Then what else? Come on, because we got quite a bit more.
If we apply the Holy Spirit to our opinion, it is the dealing with self, our opinions, our ideas. And if we apply it to our ability and capability, it is the dealing with the natural constitution. The process of the experience of dealing with the natural man or the natural constitution. The process of the experience of dealing with the natural constitution, the natural man, the flesh, the self, the ideas or opinions, very closely resembles that of dealing with self.
And so you could say, okay, I'm going to confess. You say to your husband, I don't love you. And so I'm going to go out and marry some other guy. What you're doing is confessing that you're of the devil, and you're just saying, I'm going to go be of the devil and continue being of the devil. Amen?
Amen.
If you don't love your husband, the Bible didn't say, it says to obey your husband. Amen?
Amen.
And to be faithful only to him. And if he's of the Lord and you don't love him, well then, you know, you can't. You've got too much of your own mind going in there. Or the same thing with a wife. If you're not loving your wife, well, now if your wife is a liar, or she's lusting after somebody, you don't have to love her. You know, you can't love her because you can recognize the devil in her. You can see that she's under her natural constitution. She's like living in the flesh. And the Bible says that you're not supposed to be unevenly yoked with the unbeliever. She doesn't believe the gospel. She says she does, and she stays at home, and she eats your food and drinks your water or whatever you got, and she wears the clothes you get for her and everything, but she's a darned liar. Darn it. Oh, darn it. Or she keeps lusting. Or she's unfaithful to the Lord in one way or another. Amen?
Amen.
And so you're not commanded to give due benevolence to anybody like that. And she says, yep, I don't love him. The man says, I don't love her, so I'm going to just go and just discard her. You can't do that, Gov. You just can't do that. People are not old pop bottles or old pop cans, you know, Coca-Cola cans. You just get done with it and throw it out. That isn't the way the Lord's will works. That's your will. No matter what you do, it's still your will. It's your ungodly natural constitution. Amen? So you ought to be thanking the Lord for whatever he gave you. And the aggregate the Lord has always put everybody, if you're really of the Lord, or if you're the Lord's trying to do something with you, he puts you into an environment that is good for you, because he'll put you around a lot of aggravating people to knock the edges off of you. You may be married to a man or a woman that, I mean, they just irritate and aggravate you all the time. But the Lord wants to see that you'll get, that his will be done. You may be lusting after a female that is so satanic, it's unbelievable, but you love her so much that you do whatever she wants you to do. They're because you just don't want to do without her. And if she's so satanic, like a Jezebel or something, well, and you just say, oh, I just love you, then you're sending her soul to hell. You've got to show her that you are not caring for her carnal constitution. Amen?
Amen.
And that you don't want anything to do with it or her until she shapens up. Amen?
Amen.
She said, well, you don't love me. Or he says, you don't love me. No, I don't love the devil that you follow. And any follower of Satan, yeah, I don't love. So if you want, there's the door if you want to go, okay? Oh, that's so crude. You people don't have good love. You don't have love. There's not enough love in your ministry. My God, how many times have I heard that? Love is the keeping of God's commandments. Amen?
Amen.
That's what the Bible says. Yeah, well, maybe I don't love you, if that's the way you think. And according to God, I shouldn't. Amen?
Amen.
I want somebody that loves God and wants to do his will. Okay, let's read.
Being able to see that our old man has been crucified with Christ. Some people can never come to the point to where they are able to see this. The spiritual ability to see is the first step toward our experience in dealing with the natural constitution.
Yeah, a person that believes that they don't see that we have to do the will of God, that God is going to do it all, they're blind. They're still in darkness. They're not saved. They don't have the Spirit of God at all. They're totally lost, and they don't know it. They're blind, and they're in a ditch. And, you know, you try to get them out, and you'll fight you tooth and nail when you tell them things like this. No, God has done it all. God has done it all pertaining to salvation. But if you want to be saved, the Bible says that we have to continue on doing his work with him and letting him do his work in and through us to the end. Those that continue on to the end shall be saved, the Lord says, not those that start and quit. He said, those that start and quit, I have no pleasure in them. Amen?
Amen.
I take no pleasure in those that are plowing for me, and then they turn back. Some people have never, ever plowed. They just like, they think it's all right to just read the Bible, pray, and they don't really pray. Their prayers don't go past the ceiling because they're not really involved. They're not really regenerated. And if they are regenerated, they still think that God is going to do all the work and they don't have to do anything. And so therefore, they're in darkness. And they need. Hopefully this message will turn the light on for you. Okay, then what?
We must be able to see without any shadow of doubt that our old man has been crucified with Christ. Then we will be able to experience the dealing that follows.
Right, you'll be able to experience the discipline of the Holy Spirit. When he tells you to preach, you'll preach. When he tells you to talk, you'll talk. When he tells you to be quiet, you'll be quiet. When he tells you to get up, you'll get up. When he tells you to be a good example, when he tells you to go out, you'll go out. When he tells you to stay in, you'll stay in. When he tells you to do something that you've never done before, like maybe take a Bible class, or maybe take children out to play, or, you know, we don't have enough men in the church to take over the boys over in Fort Smith or Los Angeles. All they want to do is take him to the zoo or someplace where a bunch of unsaved people are. Instead, I mean, they don't take him out to play a little bit, get some fresh air and so on, and, or to read with them or pray with them or all the other different things that they do. They don't teach him how to witness and testify. They don't testify to them of experiences that they've had that the Holy Spirit gave them while they were out witnessing and testifying. They just don't do anything with the children. And therefore, they grow up as ignorant as the unsaved people are. It's worse for them because they've been sitting in the church all their life. And the church has been paralyzed by the devil, the spirit of Satan. They're still in their constitution, their own natural constitution, stewing in their own juices. Okay, go ahead.
Next is realizing that the natural constitution is a very strong expression of the old man. This also is a spiritual ability to see. Of course, this also includes seeing what the natural constitution refers to and what its expressions are. Receiving the crucifixion of Christ upon our natural constitution. After we have seen the first two points, you will automatically receive the crucifixion of Christ upon our natural constitution.
Upon your natural constitution. Okay, then what else? Your natural self, your carnal self, your unregenerated self, your self that keeps saying God's will be done no matter what we do. You've received a lie. You've got to pull that stronghold down and put it under the feet of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
This also means that we apply the crucifixion of Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. We do that through our natural expression. Once we see and apply this, all our natural ability will be stamped with the mark of God and gradually become withered. This receiving of the Holy Spirit is a great spiritual crisis in our life and may perhaps become our Penuel, P-E-N-U-E-L.
You know what the Penuel is? You don't know what the Penuel is. That's where God crippled Jacob. Amen?
Amen.
Our Penuel, you know what the Waterloo was? Amen? D-Day. Well, we have to learn Bible terms. This is our, that could be your Penuel. where you start getting crucified. Your flesh, God starts working on your flesh. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, keep going.
This receiving of the Holy Spirit is a great spiritual crisis in our life and may perhaps become our Penuel, where God touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in experience. It is here that our natural ability and capability are touched by God in the hollow of our thigh, wherein lies the strength of our body. Hereafter, we can no longer, as before, use our ability and capability as we want to.
Yeah, is there something wrong with your body? Are you sickly quite a bit? Or is there something wrong that you wish you could shake but you can't? That is the Penuel, Jacob's Penuel. God is trying to get you to surrender your whole life unto God. And he's shown you that you're not going to be able to do anything spiritually until you surrender your flesh to the Spirit. And you're going to get, he'll just keep making it get worse and worse. You won't even be able to get out of bed in the morning. He may paralyze you for the rest of your life. Is that what you want? It's better to be willingly surrender your life unto the Lord, to the Spirit, and so that you don't have to go through any more of these trials that many people you see go through. The one man was so bitter because I wouldn't force somebody to get married to him when he wanted to get married to another. This woman wanted to get married to another man. And so God hit him with the bus and he's in a wheelchair. And, of course, he thinks that he's suffering for righteousness' sake, I suppose, but I've told him these things. This happened probably around 15, 20 years ago, somewhere in that area. The death of Susie, I think it's the 23rd year now, this Easter. This Sunday is Easter, tomorrow. It may be Easter right now. Is it 12?
Yeah, it's past.
So it's Easter time now. Happy Easter to everybody. Okay, and some... God did it to him. And God did it to Jacob. And he's letting a lot of people in this world suffer. And when they don't surrender their lives over to the Lord, but they still want to worship Buddha and follow him and Muhammad and all these other people, all these false religions, well, then, of course, God sends tsunamis and earthquakes. He punishes you. He gives you a Penuel. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, let's go.
Thus we pass a crisis in our dealing with the natural constitution. We gain an experience in a subjective way.
Yeah, because if you won't subject yourself, God will make you subject yourself, or attempt to make you subject yourself by making you dependent on him. Some of you might have stomach troubles, but there isn't a soul on the face of this earth that God isn't dealing with. The Bible says that he'll pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. That means you and me and the guy next door. Amen?
Amen.
And the girl next door. And the woman up on the hill. Amen?
Amen.
Everybody's getting it. The Lord loves everyone. He's trying to get everybody into the Spirit. Because you think that the problems you have now are bad, well, if your will is chosen to go to hell in the lake of fire, this is like a Sunday school picnic, no matter what you're going through, in comparison to what it's like there. So come on, the Lord's just right here telling you, it's important for you to be able to see that you're carnal. And it's important for you to know that you are so that you can get into the Spirit. If you can see, then you're not blind anymore. Amen?
Yeah.
And you can be resurrected. This is the difference from being carnal and resurrected. There's a vast difference. It's the difference between not far more of a distance between night and day. Heaven and hell. That's what it is. Okay, then go ahead.
Applying the experience of dealing with the natural constitution in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. In order to experience dealing with the natural constitution, you must first be in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Whether you're dealing with self or with the natural man or constitution, if you desire to have a continual experience, you must live in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. In order to apply this experience, you need to apply the death of the cross through the Holy Spirit. If you do not live in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, you cannot live in dependence. There's no way that you can be dependent upon God, the Holy Spirit, nor would you be able to apply the death of the cross. Letting the Holy Spirit execute the crucifixion of Christ upon every area of our natural constitution as it is discovered, if we live in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, we need to let the Holy Spirit execute the crucifixion of Christ upon us and upon every area of our natural constitution or life.
That's why the Bible says there can't be any condemnation on your life if you're walking after the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, if you're walking after the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen?
Because you're walking in resurrection then, and you're not going to be leaning unto your own understanding. You're not going to be doing the will of yourself or Satan, the old man. You're going to be doing the will of the Lord, because the Spirit will discipline you to do the will of the Lord. And the Lord is, Spirit has put you in an environment that is necessary for you to be able to, it's your penewal. It's a place where you maybe don't want to be because it's so irritating and aggravating to you. But still, the sooner that you surrender your life over to the Holy Spirit, then you'll be able to handle it. It'll be like a pleasant place for you to live. There's a difference between, you can live in Skid Row if you're filled with the Spirit and you're going out, the Lord is leading you into the streets every day to witness to people. It's like heaven. You can be in prison and around the most corrupt creatures on the face of this earth. And if you're in the Spirit, it's like heaven. But if you're in your natural constitution, every day is like drudgery and even you don't want to get out of bed. It's like horrible. Because you just figure, Lord's will isn't going to be done. You already got your opinion that God is not alive, His Spirit's not alive, nothing's good's going to happen today. No, it's not going to happen good today if you're not walking in, if you're not geared or desirous of doing the will of God. If God knows that your desire is to do His will, He'll make things happen in your life just as He does my life and just as He does other people that follow the Lord, such as where we're at right now. A good example is Buster. Amen. All he calls up every day and tells me of the things that the Lord has done, and he said it's the most exciting thing in the world. And Buster has a lot of natural ability. He had six major furniture stores, and he outdwindled it down to one. He said he hardly goes there anymore, but his gross, his income is far greater than it was before he was saved, and he doesn't even spend much time there. He's just out witnessing and testifying, and his staff is there and only, and he's taking in far more money now than he ever has before. Because, and every day is like an exciting thing. He wakes up wanting to do the will of the Lord and wanting to be subject unto the Holy Spirit, wanting the Holy Spirit to discipline him and put him, if he go out on the street or go into the police department or go anywhere and witness and testify, that's where Buster wants to be. And that's where I want to be. I mean, I just wrote this letter to and put it out to the press everywhere in the country, in some places even the Queen of England. And I told him, you know, if you let me go in and pray for this woman that they're starving to death and giving no liquid to, I said, she'll get up and she'll rise up. Now put me to the test. But these people don't want to put me to the test on that because they know if I go in there, she's going to raise up from the dead. She's actually, they say she's dead, and that would be too much of a glorification to the Lord. And they know it would really put all the bad things that they said, false bad things they said about this church, it would just put it right down the drain. All the work that they've done for years with their character assassination to Susie and myself and this church and the people of the church and God, and even all of the things that they're saying about God would be flushed down the toilet. That's why they don't want to let me in there. They're not going to do that. They want this woman to die. And they don't want these words to come out of me, because they just figure I'm making a monkey out of them. Because it's God. I trust God. I believe God will do that. And so that's exciting to me, is that I know that when I pray for somebody, they're going to be healed. Amen?
Amen.
Why? Because I'm not walking in my flesh. I'm walking in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. I hate the natural constitution, the natural man, the Adamic man. Hate anything that is not of the Lord, because I love power. I love the power of God, the power of the Spirit. I have no power anymore because I'm dead. My old man has been crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the power that is in me is the power of the Lord. And then the same thing will happen to you. God is no respecter of persons. If you turn your life over to Him, He'll do for you what He's done for me. He'll do for you what He's done for others. He's done for me as He did for Paul and Silas and Barnabas and all the others. Peter, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And He'll do it for you. The Spirit of God that's in me is the same Spirit that was in the Lord, and the Spirit that enters you when you surrender your life to the Lord will be the same Spirit that's in all of us, all of the saints of the Lord. So He's able to do anything. God can do all things in you. You don't have to live in shame or squalor. You don't have to think of yourself as inferior. You should think of yourself as being dead and Christ alive in you, God Almighty alive in you. Amen? So that you can do His will. Don't think of yourself, because yourself is nothing. Myself is nothing. It's the Lord that liveth and doeth the works. Amen?
Amen?
Okay, continue on, please.
In other words, every time we discover our cleverness, wiles, and capability, we must immediately apply the death of the cross to them. In this way, the stamp of the death of the cross is applied to all practical expressions of the natural constitution. This is not merely a once-for-all acceptance. It must also be a daily application.
Right, and because we're filled with the Spirit today and the Lord did something in us today, that means that we have to get up in the morning and expect that the Lord's going to do something, and desire to do the will of the Lord tomorrow morning. Amen?
Amen.
And then all through the day, because you don't know when you're going to be called on to witness to somebody or pray for somebody. So say in the Spirit all the time. So that means you have to be anointed or baptized with the Holy Spirit every day. And how do we do that? We just ask the Lord, Lord, put me in the Spirit today. Make sure I'm getting up now. I'm getting up now, and I want You to live in me, and I want to do Your will, so tell me what Your will is so I can do it. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
We must apply the cross to our natural constitution daily and moment by moment. From the very beginning, when we accept the working of the cross, we must allow God to touch every expression of our natural constitution.
Our natural self, okay.
In the fellowship of the Holy Spirit.
So that we're constantly swimming in the Holy Spirit, so that the Holy Spirit is just living in and through us all day long, showing us the will of the Lord today, and in this case, for the rest of the evening or the rest of this morning, and then, you know, every moment of our life. Why not let God have His will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Because it's not just going to happen unless you make it happen. Amen?
Amen.
We have to subject ourselves to the discipline of the Holy Spirit. Okay, then what?
We may be rich in thinking and very capable, Yet we must be the one that receives the cross and bears the cross. The cross must continually do the work of breaking us. Then, after a certain period of time...
Which again means the Spirit must break us. The Spirit, walking the Spirit, is walking with the cross. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Then what?
Then after a certain period of time, all that is of our natural constitution will gradually be in the state of having passed through dealing with the cross, the Spirit, the Word.
And it just withers and dies. The more you're in the Spirit, the more you wither. Your own natural thoughts and ideas and opinions wither and die. Okay, so this is until tomorrow. What we're going to do, I'll be doing part four of the natural constitution. So until then, stay in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh, or this old man, or the constitute, the devil. Amen?
Amen.
Let God's will be done in you today, as it is in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Meditate on that for the rest of the day, or the evening, or the morning, whenever it is that you're hearing this tape. And until then, God bless you. And this is Tony Lamo, your pastor. God bless you, and praise the Lord.